Okay. Well, good morning. I'm Paula Jane, or Paula, or PJ, or whatever you want to call me, so long as it's nice. and I've been asked to speak this morning on the requirement for service, or serving in the church. So we're currently doing a series called The Ecclesia, which is really explaining what the church really is, and what it's meant to be doing and what it's meant to look like. And we've had some, like Andy kicked us off, Steve talked about how there was a change when the Holy Spirit came and the church began, and the shift that took place through the promise that God gave us. And Mark talked last week on the blueprint for the church. That, you know, like he was saying, that it looks like in Acts that it describes what the church should look like. Is that the blueprint for us to follow? But then he went on to explain that it's not a blueprint for us to follow. It's something that happens naturally when the church really receives the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. If you're unsure about what I mean by the Holy Spirit, God is three, okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent Holy Spirit, and that he came, Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church began that day, okay? The word ecclesia, it means those that are kind of gathered. So it's the word that was originally used in the Greek that we translate into church. So, okay. So that's the little introduction. So today we're looking at the requirements for serving within the church. It sounds a little bit heavy, but don't worry. It's actually really good news. We will see as we go through. So, but before I do, let me just say something. Because, you know, we were talking about what it looks like to serve well. I want to say this. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, Paul says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So when I'm talking about, you know, serving in the church, we don't serve to please God and get his approval. We don't serve to become a Christian. We serve because we already have his approval, and it's out of knowing that we're loved by God, we're approved by God, and we're filled by God. Does that make sense? So there's, we're not talking about you've got to do this in order to please God. You already have his approval. All he wants is your yes. All he wants is you. Okay? The price was paid on the cross by Jesus Christ. Okay. So let's start by reading Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through to 7. And within this passage, we see the requirements for service. Okay? Now, as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. So this is when the church first began, right? So the very first day, 3,000 people joined the church, okay? 3,000 people said yes to what Peter was saying, repented and believed in Jesus Christ. And then every day after that, more and more people were becoming Christians and joining the church. But because that was happening, different people were starting to, you know, clash a little bit. And that's okay. You can clash a little bit because we're all different, right? But it just needed a little bit of assistance. So, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that is the 12 disciples, and called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. So, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time praying and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, I said that correctly, and Nicholas of Antioch, an early Jewish convert to Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them, laid hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So, within that passage, did you pick up on the requirements? Did anyone pick up on it? It was in verse 3. Well respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. They are the requirements of service within a church. So I'm just going to unpack those 3 things a little bit more, okay? Number 1, well respected. In other versions it says above reproach. And Paul puts a description on that in 1 Timothy 3, so I'm just going to read that. He says this: "It is true, trustworthy saying, if anyone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honourable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He is faithful to his wife, must be exercise self-control, live wisely, have good reputation, must be enjoying having guests in his home, must be able to teach, must be not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer, because he might become proud and the devil could cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap." So they're the requirements of a church leader. Did you get that, Steve? Yeah, you're looking a bit like, oh, okay. Okay, so, but you might think, well, okay, yes, church leaders, right, that's, you know, you would expect that, right? They should be doing all right. They should be, you know, working on their character. But Paul goes on to say, in the same way, the deacons, which, believe it or not, are the people who serve, okay, the servers, like those who serve in the meals in Acts 2, must be well respected, have integrity, must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them closely be examined. If they pass the test, let them serve as deacons. Now, if I were to stop my sermon there, I think there might be a bit of a heavy feeling on our hearts, right? It's like, oh my word, the standard's really high. If you want to serve coffee, that's the standard. Ooh la la. Okay. So they're well respected, have a good reputation. Can we be trusted? Are we truthful? Are we reliable? Are we committed? How does what we are at home and our church match how we are when we're in the church? In our family. I said that wrong. How does how we are at home with our family match how we are when we're at church? And are there any areas that we need a bit of help from by God? So that's point 1. Now, point 2 is actually the good news. Right. It says, because one of the requirements for serving in the church, in verse 3 of Acts 6, says that we are to be full of the Holy Spirit. And Steve explained the other week, didn't he, that when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit who would come and live within the believers. That means that the very presence of God is available to come and live within us. Galatians 5, verse 22. This is the product of us receiving Holy Spirit and letting him work in our life. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He produces those fruits in us. It's all about God working in our lives. All he wants is our surrender. All he wants is our saying, yes, I'm choosing to believe this. Come, live within me. Paul says in Ephesians 2:18, don't be drunk with wine, because that will just ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing praises and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key. And I'm so glad that that's the key to good service. Because it is all about him. It's all about what he does in our lives. It's wonderful. Because he does the work. He changes us from the inside out and he helps us to be like he's asking us to be. That's the good news. That's the good news. In Exodus, we have an example of when the Holy Spirit came upon someone to do something really quite exciting, but very practical, okay? It's Exodus 31, and it's when they were looking at building the tabernacle. God said to Moses, I have chosen someone called Bezalel, son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability and expertise of all kinds of crafts, and a master craftsman, expert working in gold and silver and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He's a master at every craft. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. He's the key. He's the key. So that's point two. Point three. Is full of wisdom. So let's appoint some people who are full of, who are have integrity and respect, well respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and someone who has wisdom. What to do? Well, to serve dinners. A practical, easy thing, you might think. So what do we do? James says in James 1 verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So we want to serve in the church. We want to do something for God, whether we're church leaders or whether we're cleaning the church or we're playing the music or we're doing the sound or we're, I don't know, bringing lifts for people, serving the coffee and the tea in the back. The requirement is to be full of Holy Spirit. Someone who's well respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and has wisdom. And the good news is that you can't really do point one and three without point two. Mark ended his talk last week. He talked by saying the verse in Luke 11, verse 13. If you sinful people know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we just have to ask. It's really simple. It's really easy. There is no striving involved. He's done it all. He did it all on the cross. It's all available to us. And we simply, simply need to ask. That is all we need to do. And if you're sat there thinking, well, I'm getting a bit on that old now, and maybe there's not a lot for me to do. Does this really apply to me? I just want to remind you that Moses started serving God when he was 80. And then he died when he was 121. So if you're 121 and over, then this doesn't apply to you. But if you're under 121, then what I've said this morning applies to you. And you have the opportunity to say yes to God, yes to his Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to ask now. I didn't take long to do this talk this morning. It's quite short because I wanted to give us opportunity to personally and quietly say to God, yes, I choose you. If you've never said, yes, I choose Jesus, I'm going to trust put my life in his hands and invite him to be my Lord and Saviour, like it says, Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do that this morning. And then once you've said that, you can say, and Jesus, I really want your Spirit. And those of us who maybe have been Christians for a while, there's so much more. There's so much more of him that we can have. And so just in this quiet, it's only going to be for a few minutes, and then Joe's going to come and lead us in a little bit of worship in a few minutes' time. But I just want us to, you know, you might want to just present yourself before God. I don't know how you do that. Sometimes I just feels good when I do that because it just shows that I'm open-handed. I want to receive. That's okay, it doesn't matter how you do it, but just between you and God. Father God, we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, for the cross and all that happened on the cross, that you made a way for us to have relationship with you. Jesus, we thank you for dying for us. But right now, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And right now, here we are, just a whole bunch of people, and we're saying yes to you. So Holy Spirit, please come and fill us.